From Double J, it's the Take 5 podcast. The people you love play the songs they love and tell you why.
Brendan Huntley is a wild man. As the lead singer for Eddie Current's Suppression Ring, many of us first met him as we watched or heard him spit visceral lyrics and crawl across stages. One of the most exciting bands to see live, his pacing back and forth and the abandon he would approach each show with made every Eddie Current gig memorable. He plays with Melbourne band Boomgates too, and when he's not making musical art, he's creating paintings and sculptures. He's a highly acclaimed visual artist as well. In all that Brendan does, his boldness, colour, and wild freedom cuts through and grabs our attention in every step. So I gave him the theme, Wild Songs. Music he feels a kindred spirit with in their freedom. And he knocked it out of the park. The way he speaks about music, art, and the connection to humanity and community is something else. Doesn't matter if you're a fan of his music or his art or not, this is a conversation about the very heart of creativity. It's a celebration and appreciation of it. We may have met Brendan through Eddie Current, but visual art has been part of his existence since the very beginning.
That's something I've always done since I was a little kid. So that's what came first, really. Yeah, the music was a surprise.
Yeah, right. What was the catalyst for you to start making art when you were a little kid? Was it something that was, you know, you found at school or at home? Where did it all begin?
Yeah, well, I mean, Mum and Dad were potters and sculptors and just art makers. And so, you know, we grew up playing with clay and drawing, and Mum and Dad would sell their pots at the craft markets. So we'd just, you know, we'd be going every Sunday and Saturday to those things. And it was just part of my life, you know. So we were always encouraged to draw and make things and just be creative.
What a great family life to grow up in, yeah.
Yeah, unreal.
Do you listen to music while you sculpt and paint?
I do, like half the time maybe, or maybe a little more than half the time. And sometimes I just like it silent.
Do you find that when you listen to music that it like influences your pieces, that you see that it's going in a certain direction?
For sure. That's sometimes why I like it with nothing, because I do feel that it sneaks in, but sometimes in the best ways, and that's why, you know, it's important to be listening to some good music while you're working.
We gave you the theme Wild Songs, and you've really taken it and run with it. Beginning with this fella, Adriano Celentano. Now, I said to you that I was going to let you try and pronounce the title of this song. How do you say it?
Well, it's a made-up word. It's Prisincolonensine Tuso, and he's an Italian guy, and this song's pretty different to everything else. And I think the whole song might be just sort of gibberish, the lyrics. And we used to play it a lot before we went on stage for Eddie Current. Mikey, the guitarist and songwriter, is quite a wizard when it comes to finding music out in the world, and he brought this one to us and was just like, how good is this? And then it was like, yeah, this has to be played, you know, before we go on. And it was always just this, I don't know, it just got me deeply in the zone and ready, and the audience too. So it'd be playing before for everyone, you know, and so I'd just be like, all right. And that sort of got me in the zone to just, you know, do the music to play, you know. So I just thought it'd be nice to play that because it made me feel wild. I felt like it made the audience feel wild before we even started, you know.
Yeah. So, did you ever like peek out from behind the backstage area and just sort of see people's faces as you press play on it?
Yeah. I mean, we were on stage, like setting up, like I'd just be sort of pacing back and forward, getting into my state of mind to perform. And, you know, Mikey might be like tuning his guitar or making sure the amps are on properly, whatever. And everyone's doing their thing. So we'd be on stage with the music playing before we went on. So we were just like ready to go the minute it stopped.
For anybody who's never seen Eddie Current, and I mean, you're one of the great Australian live bands to perform, it is a visceral experience. There is that pacing back and forth. I remember so many shows where, I remember one particular show at the Annandale in Sydney where you jumped up and just walked the length of the bar to finish the show while you were performing. And I mean, that, like, I saw you climb speaker stacks at the Meredith Music Festival many times. It was just the kind of shows that send shivers down my spine and I dearly miss as well. I always think about them, just incredible shows. But for anybody who hasn't seen, the idea of you working yourself up into a state, is it about the music? What else are you doing to get yourself into that zone? Because it is, you're giving so much to every performance that you do when you're at the front of Eddie Cuz.
Yeah, I don't really know how to describe what I'm doing there. I think it's a lot of it's coming from nerves and like a little bit of anxiety, and then also just feeling super psyched to be playing and, you know, just sort of taking in it all, and then also trying to escape from everything that's happening and just to kind of be there with the music.
You also wear gloves often when you're performing with Eddie Current. Is that because you're likely to climb things?
No, I mean, it helps, you know. but I wear the gloves every time with Eddie Current because that's the way I kind of step into, I guess, into Brendan Suppression. And, you know, it's my way of kind of switching off from everything else. And it's like, okay, you know, maybe like, you know, a superhero with their outfit or something like that, you know. It's my alter ego.
The gloves are your cape. I love it.
Yeah, they're my security blanket more than anything. To the cold maze, say one prison call and answer and I choose all right.
When I stay in the shoes and I will hold build the scene, then a whole red maybe get the color boss dying.
This next track I've picked to play is Mother I'm Going by Wak Wak Jungi.
I guess it starts with just this whole record that I only recently came across through Eternal Space that re-released it. It was like from back in the 90s, and then I think it was discovered in the archives of Triple R by maybe Andrus, this guy. Anyway, Michael Cusick from Noise in My Head, who is like a radio program, and he's always digging for new music and old music. And anyway, he's got this new label of re-releases called Eternal Space. And he put it out, and it's just, I don't know, for me it's like, it's just sort of a beautiful album to play in the studio and to drive to on the way to the studio. I mean, this particular song, it's titled Mother I'm Going, and my sculpture studio that I work out of is the house I grew up at my mum's home. And so, I don't know, for me it's like, it's the place I've always created, so the title kind of sort of sits nicely. And also Michael Cusick, who put this record out, he was pretty instrumental in the early days of Eddie Current Suppression Ring when we were working down at Corduroy Records. He was this young guy that would come in and just hang out while we were pressing records and, you know, always sort of be looking for new music there. And he lived around the corner. Also, he was the person that encouraged us to play our first gig because he knew someone that was looking for a band to open up this show that we ended up playing. And, I just thought, you know, all of that sort of makes me just feel kind of wild and thinking back about life and how one thing can lead to another. And it's rad that this record has come to light, you know, hopefully getting more light shone on it, because it deserves it, because it's a great set of tunes.
That time when you were going back to Corduroy Records, I mean, you were working there just in the factory pressing records alongside some of the other members of Eddie Current.
Yeah.
And was it just a kind of like jam session where it just like randomly started playing songs and you just jumped on the mic? How did it all begin with Eddie Current?
Yeah, that's basically how it went down. There was like a ramshackle of an after party from a garage sale of records, because Corduroy Records also had like a little distribution thing going on, so there was always records to be sold, and so people came down, had beers, and then this little party, and then everybody was leaving, and it was just basically myself, Mikey, and Danny, and we started jamming with a few other people lingering about. And I've never sung and never written lyrics before that, and it just sort of I felt comfortable with them, they're like my brothers, and so I just was sort of encouraged to sing into the tape recorder on this machine, and we came up with a song, and then I was hooked. Lyrically, I'd always sort of wrote ideas and weird poems and stuff and love letters, but then these things kind of rolled into lyrics, and I haven't really been able to stop ever since.
I'll try to be the first to apologise.
Can you remember that feeling when it just clicked and you're like, oh, hang on, given that you'd never thought about it before, you just jump on and then there's just that spark? Do you remember what that felt like?
Yeah, I mean, it happens every time we jam, you know. It's just something magic that I can't quite describe. I know how it feels, but I can't describe it. And I guess you just feel free. You feel free.
Yeah.
And then at the best moments, like, you feel kind of wild, and it's like, I don't know, that when the lyrics start pouring out, whether it's with the band or whether I'm just sort of, you know, driving or, you know, catching a tram somewhere or something, you know, it's like you forget about everything else around you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool.
Your new exhibition, what inspired this new collection of paintings and huge, beautiful sculptures?
Well, I've been working on them for a couple of years now, and I think it kind of came out of, I like going hiking with my partner, and I know you see a lot of beauty out there, and I mean, it's more than that. It's sort of what I guess it basically is. It's like I'm thinking about the universe, and I'm imagining zooming right out, like micro and macro, and it's like, to me, with these sculptures and paintings, it could be, you know, inside your DNA, the atoms and whatnot, and or it could be zoomed right out to like nebula and, you know, everything else that's going on in the universe.
The two extremes.
So, yeah, and everything in between. It's just like constant, like zooming in, and I like it, people to have their own interpretations too, you know, and I feel like that's, you know, for me, it can change too. So, yeah, you've got to keep it open, I think.
One of the things that really features heavily in this particular exhibition is eyes. And, I mean, your work has often featured facial features, really close-up facial features. But this one, eyes are a really heavy feature throughout many of the paintings. What is it about having your art looking, I guess, at the viewer who's looking at it? Because it's just these massive kind of, you know, incredible eyes with huge, bold colours all throughout.
I sort of see them as like the start of a vision or a view, and that's like my excuse to sort of explore whatever can happen within that view. And it sort of opens up, I kind of have this license to do whatever I like within that space. And to me, that's, you know, all you need to be in the studio is just that the license of freedom to kind of go wild within the, you know, the confines of that material, you know.
You spent a bit of time in California as well in the last couple of years. Was that something that fed into this new exhibition?
It did, yeah. So, I mean, being out there, there's a light source in California that I can't I don't know why I haven't looked into the science of why the light there is so extraordinary, but the way that it makes colours pop, whether it's like out in the nature or in the city, you know, it could be just like, you know, the Mexican restaurant or whatever. It's like things just really pop, and it kind of snuck in pretty quick to my subconscious and started pouring out through my work that I was making while I was over there.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. There is something really special about the light in California. And I've got to say again, this paintings are one thing, but the ceramics, I saw them, like a picture of them. I was like, oh, yeah, they look good. They kind of look like little pots, nice little ceramics. And then I saw you standing next to them, and it's like you're next to a goddamn termite mound. They're huge. I mean, yes. How did you even find a kiln to fit these in?
Yeah, well, I mean, that was half the thing. I started making these sculptures, and they started growing kind of outside of my control. I just couldn't stop. And the kiln that I originally had, it was quite hard to load. It was a small door, and I had to take bricks out of it to get these sculptures through. And in the end, the work was getting too big for that. And
it's alive.
My dad built that kiln, so it was like, yeah, it was hard to say goodbye to it. But I dismembered. I took it apart. And anyway, I found myself this large kiln that came up that was like, you know, this big industrial kiln that I had to take the side of the shed off to get in. It was a monster. It is a monster. And anyway, that's now made life a lot easier to load these sculptures, because it's on a trolley kiln, so I can kind of pick them up and lift them or have someone else help me. But most of the time I'm on my own, so I needed something that I could sort of operate on my own.
When you're making any kind of ceramics, you basically, when you're firing it, and you correct me if I'm using any of the wrong terminology, but my understanding is that you put the colours on and then you fire it, and then the colours can obviously change a lot in the process of, you know, the cooking of the ceramics. How much is that, I guess, in terms of if we're thinking about the wildness and the freedom of making art, do you like that? Do you like having that
kind of that
unknown of what's going to come out at the end?
Yeah, I mean, I love control. But I also love the fact that, you know, at that point, some of that is just completely out of my control. And it kind of reminds me of the fact that that's just how life is too, you know. And so you get, after a while you have a fair idea of what glazers do in certain temperatures. But I do like to experiment, and I do enjoy, I mean, for me it is really like once I open the door, you know, the next morning, once it's finally cooled down, that's the moment, you know, where it's just like, it really does do something. It's sort of, it's pretty exciting, you know?
Magical.
Yeah, it's magical. It is.
Let's dive into your next choice. Heading to the wonderful Melbourne artist, Laura Jean, You Make Me Feel is your next choice. How is this a wild song for you?
Oh, man. So I hadn't heard this track, and I just had the radio on in one part of my studio, and I just kind of came through while it was playing. I think it was on Triple R, and I think it was at a time when I was, you know, I'd been lifting sculptures all day and, you know, moving paintings around, and I was just exhausted. And it's just like, it just hit me. I had to lean against the wall, and I sometimes emotions, you know, they just come out, and I just teared up, and I just sort of let it go. And it was just, I don't know, it's a perfect song. I feel like she's crafted an incredible album. And this song in particular just really, like, I could listen to it all the time. And it's, I feel like, it is so wild in the concept. Like, once you start listening to the lyrics, it's just, it's brilliant. Yeah, so I think she's made something quite amazing. You make me feel.
Me feel like
Next choice is Regiment by Brian Eno and David Byrne. I think David Byrne and Brian Eno are two of the greatest, and they've both been sort of influential in just the way I approach, I guess, art and just their sort of experimentation. And I don't know, like, I mean, David Byrne, like, when I was a teenager, my brother somehow came across a videotape from the library that somehow I ended up with the possession of ever, and I never went back to the library. I don't know how, who borrowed it, but I kept
the
it.
The late fees and are piling up, Brendan.
Yeah, yeah, someone for someone. But, yeah, and it was the Stop Making Sense concert, and I just used to play that every night. Well, not every night, but a lot of nights before I went to sleep. You may find yourself living in a shotgun shack. And I feel like it kind of snuck in into my subconscious later on. This is not my beautiful life. Many good days go by. Everyone will hold me down. This record for me, though, it's like, you know, it is so wild. And most of it's made up of samples. And I think that's why it took a little bit longer to come out. I think it was maybe made in 1980, but they had to clear a lot of samples. And this particular song, you know, it's like, I think it's just a really nice mix of cultures, you know, which I feel like the world in an ideal place, that's how it should be, you know, just like everything flowing together. Playing this in the studio, like, that's one of those records that, you know, you're not thinking a lot, you're just getting into the painting or, the, you know, whatever you're doing. And I think it's good to listen to music like that that is taking you to different places without you even realising.
The way that Brian Eno and David Byrne both think, I've had the very great honour and pleasure of speaking to both of them. Both of them actually done the Take Five. Yeah. And I remember that when I did the Take Five with Brian Eno, that's still one of those conversations about creativity that I think about almost every day. He was talking, I remember, about that kind of, it was almost like drawing a graph, like a diagonal line, and talking about that, you know, at one point there's control and then at the other point there's total freedom, chaos. And yeah, and his sort of sweet spot was finding that exact middle point where everything can fall apart but it doesn't.
I 100% relate with that exact concept. I feel like that is just that center point between those two is you know, is when you, you know, you're coming up with something brilliant.
I mean, going into the world of both, you know, the avenues of creativity that you explore in music and art, when you're performing, whether it's with Boomgates or Eddie Current, and you're also making art at the same time, do the energies of each of those outlets fuel each other, or do you need to kind of separate them and only do one at each time? How do you control that kind of, or not control that energy?
Yeah, I guess I kind of just go about it day to day, and it just depends where I'm at and what I'm making. So, you know, if I'm in the studio, I'll be making my work there. But if I'm jamming with those guys, you know, that's where my energy will be at. So it's like, to me, I'm just like, I just sort of let it filter out one way or another. Sometimes one might be running a little bit, you know, drier than the other. So wherever that is, I focus on where it's really flowing. That sort of bounces between them all, I suppose.
So you kind of follow an intuition.
Yeah. I guess so. I guess you have to.
Yeah. The last time that you played with Eddie Current was at the 2016 Golden Plains Festival. It followed a five-year break from Eddie Current. Are there any plans to play live or record again?
Well, we have been jamming, and I don't know what will ever come of this, but I love making music with those guys. So we still jam and sounding pretty good. So, you know, we don't really sort of think about what's the next step. You know, we just love being in the room together, and it's, yeah. So that's where that's at.
I'm very excited to hear that. I was like, had this conversation with friends that there's this idea that whenever any sort of project that Mikey Young's involved in gets successful, he just kills it and decides to do something else. So I always worry. Yeah. It's like, he's like, oh no, let's try something else.
No, he's onto it. You know, I think I've always trusted him as the, you know, the captain of the ship. And any time that any of us have been feeling like having a break, you know, we've rolled with that, and it always feels right, you know. Whether that's like 5 years or 6 months, it's like there is no rush. You know, we never came into the making of Eddie Current to be, you know, I mean, look, you know, it started with that one song, and everything else has just been a strange bonus, you know, and we just kind of roll with it.
Well, I'm hoping that rolling with it works in the favour of seeing you live and hearing more new music from you sometime soon, selfishly. Got a great text in as well from Nick in Sydney saying, Eddie Current at the Golden Plains 10-year anniversary. That was in 2016. They explode into Which Way to Go, and Brendan just pauses and looks into the crowd when the riff comes back in the middle. The crowd just roared back. Was the most magical live moment. Still gives me chills. I'm getting chills just reading that out. Yeah. What an amazing experience. And for you, I'm sure, Brendan, feeling that energy from the crowd must be incredible as well on your side.
Yeah, I get a little emotional even thinking about that moment. I mean, it really was, you know, there was something that happened at that gig where I guess the gap between the audience and band, sort of, there was like this bridge, you know, we all kind of became this one energy. And that moment in Which Way to Go, anytime Mikey breaks down the guitar where it's just the solo and it's kind of like just, you know, one chord, I think. The audience is kind of making this crazy roar. It kind of tore me inside in the best way. I was just like, I mean, it just... the word wild, you know, I was just like, yes, you know, and I fed off it, and I feed off it, you know, every time. And it's just, I mean, that's the best part about playing is that the bridge between the audience and the band. It's magic.
We have one final one, and it's an epic. Laurie Anderson, yes. Oh Superman, tell us why.
Well, this is something my dad had on tape when we were kids, and he's always had heaps of weird tapes. I don't know where, like, you know, it might be some monks singing from a mountaintop or something, and I wasn't going to bring that in. But I guess this is like one of those, you know, Laurie Anderson was always sort of a part of our house, and like, not like I grew up with this, like, you know, eclectic music, and I never sort of thought, I mean, I did, but I never thought about it like that until looking back. And this particular track, I guess, is it makes me think about family and how wild a family can be as well, and how that's amazing in itself. And the lyrics used to make me think, like, I felt like she was saying my brother's name. And so she sort of says something about Mom and Dad.
Oh, Mom and Dad.
And John, my brother's name's John.
Oh, John.
And then she talks to Superman, or about Superman, and I kind of thought, maybe I'm Superman.
Oh, Superman.
And, I mean, this is as a kid, you know. I don't know. Like, I've got this vague, foggy memory of that, and it just being like a wild song, and I just, every time it would come on. My point is, it's like, you know, I was encouraged to have a wild imagination, and I think, you know, everyone should be. And I, it's because it sort of filters out through life, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think we all have wild imaginations, but some people aren't encouraged, you know.
Oh, Superman. Oh, John. Just start talking at the sound of the tone. Hello? This is your mother. Are you there? Are you coming home?
Brendan Huntley, winding out of a wild take five with Laurie Anderson. What a beautiful soul, and what an incredible take five. The way he spoke about the bridge between the audience and the band just there, that's what every musician and punter wants to feel, and it perfectly captures the energy and the incredible intensity of an Eddie Current Suppression Ring show. I hope they play live again together soon. I miss them so much. And yeah, if you want to hear that Brian Eno Take 5, just scroll back and find it right here on the Take 5 podcast. Next time, we're taking 5 with Ash. I still love you, the girl from Mars. The Irish Charmers have just released an album called Islands. So we're doing what we've never done before, asking them to take us to a desert island with their essential songs. Next time.
This is Sarah Blasco.
Hi, this is Rachel from Slowdive.
Hi, this is Beck, and I'm taking 5 with Zam.
Thank you, Zam.
The Take 5 podcast. The people you love play 5 songs they love and tell you why.